Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening to AFR. And I hope you got it. We hope you had a great weekend, and looking forward to a week ahead free of false nuclear bomb attack reports. I'm sorry, it's funny, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know exactly how to handle this situation. We'll. Ed Tagliano will know how to tastefully and tactfully handle this situation.
Well, what's funny is, I mean, obviously, it was not a real event, so that would have hands off a real nuclear warhead detonation. Right. But the fact that government so often gets things so wrong, mm-hmm. to where the citizens of Hawaii got a message, a text alert. How we all get them? Yeah. You know, tornado warning or winter storm advisory or amber alert. And they got one saying a nuclear missile is headed your way. And for 38 minutes until that warning was corrected, the people of Hawaii were scrambling. That was terrifying.
Which is not funny.
Which, that part was not funny.
Yeah. Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thankfully, we didn't have any nuclear missile warnings in Mississippi here.
No, we didn't.
We're an unlikely target.
Are we?
We are. Which Who is, wants to hit Mississippi?
That's right. We're way down the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
So we're down.
Everything.
Sometimes it's good to be last.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, what about
Kim Jong-un doesn't sit around and go, let's pick out some targets here in the U.S.
Let's go for the
– going to hit a whole river,
sir. Bomb Mule.
Yeah. All right. So
– Let me – I was just going to say one other thing. Forgive me for that poor imitation of North Korea, but – How many husbands, you know, texted their wives and said, I should have let you have the new furniture. If only I had a second chance.
Well, what about the, I need to confess to three affairs.
Ooh. Yeah.
Huh?
Yikes.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So, let's just start over here.
Yeah.
This has gotten way off. This is like we're talking without people, knowing people are listening on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Walker, tell us what we're doing on Facebook today.
We are live streaming on Facebook. Okay. So you can watch the show there. I've also listed the guests that we're going to have. So if you want to know who's up next, you have to go to Facebook. Today's Issue is on Facebook.
That's very smart, by the way. That's good. That. Letting people know who we got coming up. And
in case they want to leave and go to some other radio station.
Hopefully it's the reverse effect of that.
So go to Today's Issues, our Facebook page. We're live video streaming.
That's right.
The show there. Fred Jackson, who wants to distance himself from all the comments that have been made in the last 3 minutes.
Because he's Canadian. The Canadians are nicer than Americans. Mm-hmm. So he's going, I don't want any part of this.
Right. So Fred, news director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Nice sweater, by the way. Is that a Christmas sweater?
Yes.
Is that new?
I did.
I complimented him this morning. I told him
it's
nice.
Yeah. It's a new you, Fred.
It's a new me.
You usually got that jacket you...
I know. I wanted a totally different look.
Yeah, usually you get that boring outfit, but this is nice.
This is new. Yeah, this is
Thank you very much. Right. Catching this on Facebook?
All right, Fred.
All right. Well, me and you were talking. I have another story to actually lead, but just to follow on the Hawaii emergency on Saturday morning, Hawaii time, you were talking about how people reacted.
Yeah.
Here's a descriptive paragraph of how people reacted there. The error sparked a doomsday panic across the islands known as a laid-back paradise. Parents clutched their children, huddled in bathtubs, and said prayers. Students bolted across the University of Hawaii campus to take cover in buildings. Drivers abandoned cars on a highway and took shelter in a tunnel. Others resigned themselves to a fate they could not control and simply waited for the attack. Now, that was the scene down there.
Now, that, you know, that part's not funny.
No, and, you know, it's okay, none of it's funny, but in retrospect, now looking at it, it was a false alarm. a government official hit the, that's, you got to admit, that's.
Yeah,
that's,
there, there can, jokes can be made.
Jokes can be made about that now. But now, if you're living through this, which we, by the way, we know two people who are in Hawaii. We here on our staff, we know two people who were in Hawaii. Well, what, they live over there part-time. They're retired. And they got the same alert that you're talking about over your phone. Mm-hmm. If you're living through that, that is, I don't know, just absolutely terrifying for the whole people in Hawaii, for all the people in Hawaii. Yeah. Many of them include tourists.
You can imagine on your phone, you get a
text. For 38 minutes, too. How does it go? How do you go 38 minutes?
Well, I don't think they had a problem with how do you stop this?
How do you stop what?
How do you stop this alert? I mean, you're getting the phones. The phones are already getting, this is not a drill. So that's when the panic begins. Mm-hmm. It happened during a shift change. Some guy comes in. I guess there's a routine that you go through when the shift starts, your 8-hour shift starts. And he just pressed the wrong button.
You would think, though, I think what you're getting at, Dad, is that someone would say after 5 or 10 minutes, all right, we need to issue a correction alert. Mm-hmm. Send out an alert saying this was a mistake. Everybody remain calm. But 38 minutes.
First, they have to check to find out if it's real. Right. I would guess.
The officials
would say, is this real?
Right.
And then, like you say, then they go say, well, no, so what do we do now, now that we've issued a false alert?
Right. Bill, what number did you punch?
See, that's the part that's funny, is the incompetent government employee, you know, we all have that in our minds.
Right.
You know.
You mean Bill punching the wrong number?
Yeah, you know, the Department of Motor Vehicles or Obamacare all those kind of, those experiences we've had, we go, I could totally see this happening.
And you know what's funny is the Hawaii's a Democrat-run state, both mayors and governor, everybody. But somehow it always seems to come back on Trump. You know, all the celebrities blaming Trump, but look at your own officials. They're all, I mean, I don't know whether this has anything to do with party politics.
I just don't see, what I would like to see explained, and maybe it will be explained, is how we move on to another topic here, but how this can possibly happen. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like you would have enough checks and balances, or however you want to call it, against, to prevent something like this from happening, that would be impossible. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To happen, but
in other words, you have to have three confirmed officials.
Well, this is interesting. This AP story, officials down there try to assure residents there would be no repeat false alarms. The agency changed protocols to require that two people send an alert. So there you go. In the wake of all of this,
Bill can't do it by himself.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should have two people, and made it easier to cancel a false alarm. And all of that took about 40 minutes to put in place.
Yeah, that's what's staggering to me, is how could it take so long to send out a, oops, we made a mistake, alert. And you got 38 minutes of pure terror for the people over there and families back home who are hearing about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the, like you're saying, Ed, with the phones now, everybody got the, you know, practically everybody got the message, you know, and 10 minutes?
And anyway. Who anymore thinks about nuclear war? When we were growing up, not you, Walker, but us, or Brent, but, you know, the old guy sitting at the table, when we were growing up, the Soviet Union was still there. There was always a chance. So, you know, we did some drills growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what happens in the event of a nuclear war. This is what you do, you know. And we've done that for generations.
And quite frankly, if you think about it, with Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, firing missiles out, for the last, 6 months or a year, on a regular basis. By regular, I mean every month or so, he's firing weapons, missiles out into the Pacific Ocean or somewhere. It's not crazy to think, well, maybe he finally did this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And we've all been calling him a nutcase. So you put those things together.
This is what nutcases do.
This is what nutcases do. They picked us. He picked us.
Yeah, but you're right, Walker. The left, some of them, not all of them, blaming President Trump for this. And I read something this morning where, who was it, blaming President Trump for an unstable world. And I thought, like the world was stable before, before President Trump did. It was, you know, it was all good. The world was great. The planet was fine until we get Trump. And now it's everything's messed up here. That's when, who was it? It was one world leader saying that. I saw that on Drudge or somewhere this morning. I was reading that. All right, Fred Jackson, what else we got?
Big day today, Martin Luther King Day,
right,
across our nation. And, you know, it's a time of celebration for the accomplishments of Martin Luther King and where we are as a country right now with regards to civil rights and the relationships. But we have a disturbing story in connection with all of this today. There are reports that Nancy Pelosi, who heads the Democrats in the House, gave an instruction sheet to members who are out across the country today. Now, in connection with Martin Luther King Day, there are so-called training sessions that are going on out there. And a lot of these are being carried out by apparently members of the Black Caucus for Democrats. So now what we hear is, and we get this information from Horace Cooper, who is the co-chairman of Project 21, which is a conservative African-American group. And we interviewed him on Friday, and he filled in what Nancy Pelosi has told these Democrats to do today across the country. And basically, the thrust is, do not talk about the accomplishments of the Trump administration with regards to economics and what it's doing for the African-American community. As we have reported, unemployment rates are at all-time lows for the African-American community. People are getting bonuses, et cetera, et cetera. Nancy Pelosi apparently has told these people, don't talk about that. Instead, talk about words that she says accuses the president of that enhances his image of being a racist. So that is the drill she has given. Here's a little bit more from Horace Cooper.
They're requiring members of the House of Representatives in particular to go back into their home districts and to engage in what they're calling teach-ins, where people are going to explain that the most important thing for Black America is to remember that it is the words and the comments and the characterizations that leaders use that's way more important than what these leaders actually do. And in particular, they're telling them that they want them to ignore the benefits of the tax cuts, any news that either they or their relatives are getting better jobs or doing better financially, etc. In exchange for that knowledge, Black America is supposed to hear in their districts that Washington Democrats care about them.
Washington Democrats care about them. Now, let's think about this for a moment. We had 8 years of President Barack Obama, a great accomplishment for an African-American to be voted president of this country. So the question is, if you're out there with these teach-ins, okay, what you have today, lowest unemployment rate, people getting jobs, $1,000 bonuses, I would, if I was an African-American sitting there and, okay, I didn't get this under Barack Obama. I mean, I can figure it out for myself, Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Things are better today, but Nancy Pelosi wants to basically bring down the blinders and say, don't think about all the benefits that you're getting right now that you didn't get under Barack Obama. Just think about what a racist that Donald Trump is. You know, I want you to think about that.
Yeah. Well, that's a good strategy, I guess, if you want to play to your base.
Yeah.
You're the Democrats. In other words, don't give President Trump any credit. Talk about something he said. And it is a significant point to be made that the this is the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans in how long?
Decades.
Decades. Yeah. I mean, this is, and you could say, well, this is based on an improving economy, which is which you have to give credit to President Trump for, because what's the difference between last year and this year, or the last 8 years and this year? And it happened so quickly. I think it was consumer confidence, the idea. All President Trump's policies could not have been put into place. although he did have a lot, he did do a lot of deregulation through the executive branch, which he controls, and then the tax reform package that passed as law. These things have led to a boom. I was reading the other day that this was the best holiday season for companies in.
Yeah, car sales are up, housing starts are up. I mean, the economy is
roaring.
Yeah,
and the stock market's going nuts.
Starting to heat up.
So you can't. So what you're saying, Fred, is Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are saying, do not talk about those things.
Mm.
You need to talk about things that the president has said, which makes him a racist in their minds. So
in their minds.
Keep that.
Well, she actually started last week in a briefing that she gives to reporters every week. She talked about the tax reform benefits. She called it crumbs, the $1,000 bonuses, crumbs. Mm-hmm. And people are shaking their heads. Wait a minute. If a $1,000 bonus on top of what you're going to see in your paycheck, more take-home pay, that's crumbs, then what did you do during the 8 years of Barack Obama? Yeah. They didn't get any of that.
Right. Yeah. They didn't even get crumbs.
What do you think about President Trump's speech? By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's what you're listening to. We thank you for joining us. We got the. By the way, when is the State of the Union address?
Last Tuesday of this month.
The last Tuesday of this month.
Yeah.
A Thursday, I guess it was. We didn't do the. We do trivia Friday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this. Was it Thursday that the president was accused of using the? We've all heard it now, so a term to describe third world countries.
Haiti and African countries, yeah.
Well, and also Central America.
Was the allegation.
That was the allegation, that he used a profane word to describe these places.
From Dick Durbin.
Dick Durbin, Senator, Democrat. And then then you had Senator Perdue from Georgia and Senator Cotton from Oklahoma saying, we didn't hear him say that.
They were in the room when Dick Durbin was saying, this is what the president said. We were in a room with the president. We're talking about getting a DACA deal.
Right.
And these other two Republican senators who are in the room are saying now, he didn't use that term. He didn't use that term that way at all. But all during the weekend, all you heard was President Trump, racist, et cetera, et cetera.
I was talking to Ed this morning before we went on the air. Here's what... And I'm not saying that the president shouldn't be more careful with his choice of words. If he said something like this, what I'm talking about in describing these countries. But then there are people who say, hey, he's only saying what people think. What the average, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the people who've been to Haiti come back and say, that's a... terrible place. I'm not going to. Mm. That's why people want to leave. Mm-hmm. So what President Trump was saying was, basically, here's my point. The Democrats don't want to talk about the substance of what the president's comments are. Okay, they'd rather talk about what he used a bad word, or he's racist because he's talking about. Countries that are where black people live or brown people live. Therefore, this is a racist comment. Okay.
Can I play you an example of that?
Of what I've just described?
What you're just describing. We're talking about Senator Dick Durbin.
Yeah.
Now, part of the plan of the immigration reform is to end what's called chain migration. All right? Now, chain migration is one person of a family gets in.
It's crazy.
Automatically, we're going to bring all the aunts and uncles and everybody in. Listen to how Dick Durbin decided to frame the term chain migration. Cut number one.
When it came to the issue of, quote, chain migration, I said to the president, do you realize how painful that term is to so many people? African Americans believe that they migrated to America in chains. And when you speak about chain migration, it hurts them personally.
He said that?
Who was that?
That is Dick Durbin.
I'm sorry. That's
stupid.
Huh? No, nobody thinks that.
Who thinks like that?
I'm not calling him a moron. I'm saying that statement is moronic.
Yeah.
I mean he can't be that. He can't be that stupid to make that argument and believe it.
He's not. He's not. So they do this. They do this on purpose to inflame the passions of.
They always want to bring it back to, like you said, Trump is racist.
Yeah. Right.
So whatever logic, whatever leaps of logic we have to make.
Yeah.
To get that word into the conversation, the discussion, we'll do it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Why don't we talk about the substance of what the president is talking about with respect to chain migration, and also, you know, we have a tradition in this country. Yes, we take people from all over the world, poor countries, and otherwise. Well, most of the countries around the world are poor, right?
Yeah.
But we don't take everybody from everywhere. And I think this is what this is the substance of what is behind his philosophy on immigration, which is what he ran on, quite frankly,
right.
The president. So, no country in the world, in Canada, for example, where you're from, Fred,
mm-hmm.
you have to, they're talking now about, they're fixing to stop this people coming into Canada.
Mm-hmm. And they have for a long time. You have to prove before you migrate to Canada that you will be of benefit to the country. In other words, you're bringing skills, whether it's medical skills, entrepreneurial skills. You're bringing that to help and enhance the country. That's in liberal left-wing Canada.
Right.
It's the same way. And I was reading this comment last night on this gentleman. It was a comment after a story about this. And this gentleman was saying, hey, I'm a dual citizen. I think he said in Mexico and Greece. And he said, you have to prove that you're not going to be a burden on those countries. You have to show them your bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show them, you know, how you're going to take care of yourself. Do you have a job? And all these things. I was thinking to myself, this is standard operating procedure for countries around the world. And all of a sudden, when President Trump suggests this, he's a racist. You know what I'm saying? I think like Dick Durbin used that chain migration moronic statement right there. These people know what they're doing.
Yes.
And again, President Trump doesn't help sometimes with the way he words things.
Right.
He words things like he's some kind of New York real estate tycoon on a job site. I heard somebody write, I'm saying that sort of sarcastic because he talks like from where he comes from. But all they want to do is focus on, you know, this makes him a racist. Well,
that's changing the subject. That what Dick Durbin did, he's changing the subject.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about what chain migration actually is,
which
we can explain that in a second. We're going to instead change the subject to racism because that's the way we want to frame the 2018 and the 2020 election is we want to frame Donald Trump as a racist. So every opportunity we get, we're going to talk about, oh, Lucky Charms. Well, let me tell you something about the slaves that were brought to this country. Some of them clutched charms in their hands, hoping they would be broken free. So, Mr. President, you can talk about your favorite cereal being Lucky Charms, but you, sir, are a racist.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how little sense that makes.
It's the new Democrat Party, because remember Hillary Clinton, remember people were complaining because she kept bashing Trump and name-calling him, calling him a racist, a homophobic, you know, we're all deplorables. But that's the new Democrat Party. It's name-calling instead of issue talking. The reason they don't want to talk about this immigration plan is because it's horrible. It grants amnesty, full amnesty, to over 3 million people, and it opens our border.
And explain briefly before the break.
Yeah, chain migration is when one person comes here, and then they're allowed to bring any and all relatives, first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, mom, dad, grandparents.
That's insane.
So the family can be together. That's the way the Democrats say it. Well, you want to break up the family, do you? So now we got to bring the aunts, uncles, and cousins.
And the ultimate objective here for the Democratic Party is to destroy the Republican Party by bringing all these masses of people here who are going to vote Democrat.
Because they come from socialist countries.
Yes, and they're dependent on the federal government.
Right.
They're going to vote Democrat all day, every day, and it's going to be the end of the Republican Party as we know it. That's the goal of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. David Barton is going to be with us momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
Icons of Evolution is, in my view, a seminal book on the whole macroevolution intelligent design controversy. And I used that book quite extensively in preparing the evolution section for I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
We'll also talk with Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. For about 45 minutes, residents and vacationers in Hawaii thought they were about to die. That's how long it took for state leaders to rescind what we now know was a false missile alert. Video showed terrified parents stuffing children into storm drains. One family even jumped on board kayaks, paddled a half a mile into the ocean. One frightened woman said she just sat down, bowed her head, and prepared to meet her maker. Well, it turned out to be a false alarm, thank goodness. But what if there had been a missile attack? For me, the most disturbing part of that false alarm was the number of people who did not know what to do, the families who had no survival plans. So let's use what happened in Hawaii as a teachable moment. Put together an action plan. Do not rely on the government to take care of you. Take personal responsibility for protecting yourself and your family. And pray the day you have to use that plan never arrives. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program, on AFR. And I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Fred. Walker, we got our Facebook live streaming working okay?
Yes, we are live streaming on Facebook. I've posted a few One News Now articles that we've talked about. And I'm going to try to find the Senator Durbin clip that we just played and post it also.
Let's play that. Hold on just a second. You got that? All right. David Barton's going to be with us in just a minute. In fact, David, are you there now?
I sure am, Tim.
All right. How long you got?
Whatever you want, bro.
That's what I like to hear, David. Right there. I wish these other three guys would give me that kind of,
I got to get some more popcorn, Tim. I don't have all day.
I feel like Rodney Dangerfield around here sometimes. Anyway, all right, David, before we get to why we had you on, we're going to play this quote from Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, the Democrat. He's the one, by the way, one of the ones who accused President of using the
bad language,
the bad word. But we played this last half hour. Listen to Dick Durbin describe. Just listen to this. Go ahead.
When it came to the issue of quote chain migration, I said to the president, "Do you realize how painful that term is to so many people? African Americans believe that they migrated to America in chains. And when you speak about chain migration, it hurts them personally."
I don't know what to say. He didn't even believe that.
No.
David, what is the thinking behind a guy saying something like that?
Now, you're making an assumption that thinking was behind it.
Duly noted. Well, what's going on there? Why do Democrats do this kind of thing?
you know, it's an interesting thing. They're so polarized over so many issues, they have to take an opposite position to whatever's out there. And it doesn't even make sense a lot of times, but they have to be on the opposite side, trying to find some middle ground on an issue like immigration, which, by the way, it was overwhelmingly, I had not seen these numbers until just a couple of weeks ago, but 70% of Americans thought that immigration was a massive issue in the election. I've not seen that number. And 3 out of 4 voted for Trump on that issue. So maybe the immigration issue alone was what put him in the presidency. You know, we point to other groups, evangelicals, et cetera, and that's fine, and that's good, and those numbers are there. But I had not seen any number reported, and I found this 2 weeks ago because I'm in the middle of doing a book now for Regnery, and one of the 6 issues we're covering is immigration, and that's a massive issue, and it's one that's polarized, but Americans are not polarized on this. And chain migration or chain immigration, however they want to call it, is one of those things that just because you come doesn't mean you get to bring 130 of your closest relatives with you. And that's what they're trying to shut down on, is trying to stop the numbers on. So essentially you have Durbin taking an open border position, and most Americans take exactly opposite. And amazingly, most Democrats, most common sense Democrats, voters that is, take the opposite position too. So these guys are now in such a position that they feel like they have to respond the opposite of whatever the president or whatever Republicans say, even if it makes no sense, even if it's not logical, they have to take the opposite position. And I think that's what Durbin pretty much did.
I would dare say if you surveyed 100 African-American people, and that 99 of them you said chain migration. What is that? 99 or 100 of them would say they would know what you're talking about, but they would not say, yeah my great-great-granddaddy was brought over here in chains, and that's offensive to me.
The term's offensive.
The expression, chain migration, everybody knows what you're talking about, but Durbin tries to invent some kind of offense out of that. That's right. Go ahead, David.
These guys are so trying to make everything radioactive, and they think that one of the ways to do that now is by associating everything with race, and that no longer works. I mean, that's how far out of touch they are. But you're right. If you ask 99, I think if you ask 100 African Americans, that they would give you the right position. I don't think it's 99 out of 100. I think 100 would.
I agree.
But these guys are totally into making as many things radioactive as they can, and fortunately, it's just not working anymore.
I tell you though, I got to give Durbin at least a B for creativity right there, huh? Because nobody in the world ever thought of this, and he did.
Kind of like when a student answers an essay question, and they are completely wrong, but it's a very creative error. You know, a wrong answer. The teacher says, "You know what? I got to give you some credit. I don't know how you brought aliens into this
discussion of early American history."
That's right.
But you did.
But you know, the other pathetic part of this, he was standing in front of reporters.
That's a good point.
When he made this point the other day, no reporter said, "Really, Senator?"
Come on, Senator.
Really?
Right.
You know,
nobody
quoting this. No reporter said, "That's a stretch, Senator Durbin. Don't you think that's a stretch?"
Right.
Not a word from the reporters.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing, too.
Y'all go ahead.
Our listeners want to hear him, not me. I'll just say this real quick, is that if you say that this discussion of illegal immigration is really about slavery, then the Republican position is racist. Not just the term, your desire to put up borders and maintain borders is racist because it really has to do with slavery.
Yeah.
All right, that was pretty weak, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, David.
I think this is really fun in some ways because I forgot to bring it home a minute ago, but what I think is really intriguing is the Americans are much more educated on immigration issues than are the political people, and they're much more aware of what's even the right terminology. So I think the Americans are well ahead of this, but when you look at even the media, by a margin of 27-1, that is the number let me say it differently. Reporters gave to Trump or they gave to Clinton, and they gave to Clinton by a margin of 27-1.
Yeah.
So she was open borders all the way. She was anti-anything Republican or immigration, anti-any kind of limits. And so now that limits are trying to be placed in immigration, I mean, they just react in a virile way I can't even say the word this morning. It's virile. I'm in New York, so I've lost half my brain. But But it's a virulent reaction that is without thought. And I think the Americans are so far ahead of where Durbin and others are that it's laughable. I think the media is not far ahead. I think the media is right where he is and looking for a way to do the open border stuff. I was intrigued even with the coverage of this immigration stuff, how they took 500 evangelicals and said 500 evangelical leaders are against Trump on this. Okay, the only problem with that is there are more than 500,000 evangelical leaders in America. You took 500, give me a break. That's 0.1%. And you're saying that this is a matter, but that's the way the media has spun this. So I doubt that any media is going to call them out on this because the media have shown themselves to be exactly in the same position. And I'll bet you they report very happily the racial side of this and trying to make it another, you know, kind of boomerang issue. But the Americans really are, and this is what shocked me when I found it, they really are so far ahead of the political leaders on the rhetoric and the issues surrounding this. I think Durbin made a really bad decision.
Talking to David Barton, he's the founder and president of Wall Builders Ministry. And David, talk about, you guys got something coming up called Keep Faith in America. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it's the kind of thing, Tim and guys, where that we really are not standing for faith the way we should, and we have done polling on this for a good while. As a matter of fact, we find that right now 9 out of 10 pastors, if they get attacked for something they say, they retreat to the safety of not saying it. And so that is typical of where people are. If you stand for your faith and you get attacked, you tend to back up, and I don't want to do that again. I put my hand on the stove and get burned. And so what happens is, as a result now, you get so many more attacks that are going, and the perception is that faith is taking a backseat. And well, it's not a perception. Faith is taking a backseat because people of faith are not standing for their faith. So we have a movement called Keep Faith in America. It's lasting about 5 months, quite frankly, because it is a movement. It's not just a day. But it starts tomorrow with 1,000 legislators going to the states of their step capital and the U.S. Capitol as well, calling on Americans stand up for their faith, to keep faith in America. It's a double entente. Keep faith in America in the sense of, hey, we're optimistic that God's going to bring this thing back. We're going to be okay. But at the same time, you need to personally keep your faith in America, and you need to stand for faith. So tomorrow, starting at noontime, we have a Facebook Live event that goes for 8 hours on Keep Faith in America website. It starts and it goes across the nation, state by state. We get Franklin Graham. We got Hollywood folks. We got all these folks saying, guys, it's time to stand up for faith. We will end tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol, federal congressman calling on people to stand for faith. Then we'll move into February where the churches will do the same. Tens of thousands of churches over the 4 weeks of February will be playing 2 to 3 minute videos calling on the people to stand up for your faith where you work, stand up for your faith where you go to school, stand up for your faith in the marketplace, stand up for your faith. As we go into March, we have 1,900 Christian fraternities and sororities that will do the same thing on thousands of college campuses, calling on kids there to stand for faith. In April, we will move into city councils and school boards and businesses who will be urging people to stand for faith. And then as we go into May, that's the National Day of Prayer. But Ronnie Floyd, who is now the head of National Day of Prayer, has really kind of changed this. We don't want a day of prayer. We want a life of prayer. And so really all of May is dedicated to a time of prayer, a national day, a national month of prayer, if you will. So for the next 4.5 months, this is going to be a big emphasis in America because we are polling-wise seeing faith take a back seat. Of those who have a personal relationship with Jesus right now, 68% do not tell others about it. They do not share anything about their faith with anyone else. They're backing off. And in the last 10 years, we've seen the people professing faith in America, born-again faith, dropping from 44% down to 31%. That's all the wrong directions. So it's really time for people to stand back up for their faith. Even if you get beat up, it's worth standing for it. And that's really kind of what we're putting out for everybody.
Well, and David, this is really shocking what you're doing, because I've been told that because you recommend and advocate for Christians being involved in politics, that you actually believe that government can save America. This is the first I've ever heard of people like you talking about prayer and witnessing. Tongue in cheek. That's what you and we are accused of constantly, is we only want politics to save America.
Well, that was part of Dick Durbin's press release, is that's what we all believe. And, you know, I say that again facetiously, but that really is where things are. And by the way, Dick Durbin has personally gone to the floor of the U.S. Senate to deride me for exactly that. So even though you say it tongue-in-cheek, Durbin is a guy who has called me out specifically in speeches on the floor of the Senate for doing exactly what we're talking about now, using your constitutional right of free speech, your constitutional right of freedom of religion, your constitutional right of freedom of association. And he thinks that that is, again, government coercion and that government's going to save America. And that's not the issue at all. And you and I, you know, and everybody else that has half a brain knows that. But again, this is again, something that is polarizing. And we can just about guarantee you that if you stand up for your faith anywhere, you're going to get called out. Somebody's going to hit you on Facebook. Somebody's going to make some comment to you. Again, 9 out of 10 pastors have retreated to the safety when they get called out on this stuff. But we're urging Americans to just get a backbone. Stand up, get a backbone, keep faith in America, double on top. You know, we believe in the nation, but we also believe that faith in the nation is what makes the nation great.
We were talking to David Barton. David, where can people watch that? Watch your show. Watch the program from D.C. tomorrow.
If you go to the Facebook page, Keep Faith in America, we will kick off at noon Eastern time, and we will have 8 hours of live coverage going state by state across the country. And again, this kickoff is from legislators, and we thought that was significant too. That it's not a bunch of preachers calling people to stand for their faith. These are elected officials calling on people to stand for their faith, keep faith in America. And so we will be rolling out at noontime a number of proclamations from governors, a number of legislative resolutions calling for people to keep faith in America. And so that will go throughout the day, and people can tune in and out as they like, or if they want to watch out all 8 hours and hang in there with us, they're welcome to. It will be fast moving. Again, we have a number of folks interspersed in throughout, the Franklin Grahams and others, from all professions, from military leaders, from political leaders, from Hollywood leaders, etc., calling on folks to keep faith in America.
Mm. All right, David, thank you, my friend. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it, guys. Bless y'all. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. That's David Barton joining us. David's the president and founder of Wall Builders, does a great work across the country. And we appreciate him being with us the last few minutes here on the program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, I was reading a story. I'm assuming it's a fella who hit the wrong button over there in Hawaii. He got reassigned.
Yeah. He did. He got reassigned.
He was a state government official. And he, I don't know if he got sent to the cafeteria. You know. For, you know, lunch detail or what he's doing now. But he's not going to be anywhere near the button,
right?
I guess.
And now apparently they're going to have two buttons.
Are they going to have two buttons?
Yeah, two buttons now. So
okay. That's a bad deal for their tourism image over there in
right.
Hawaii. They count on tourists. Hey, come to Hawaii where the excitement.
Where last week.
where the excitement.
Hey, how about this guy who got reassigned? Oh, I mean, this is going to be on like your resume now. Oh, yeah. I see you went to such college and you spent through that. And I also see that you were the knucklehead that caused so. Yeah, you know what? The position's been filled.
Right. Hey, what?
Thanks for coming in.
How about his kid at school? Hey, what does your dad do?
He causes terror.
Well, my dad got reassigned this weekend. Really.
He causes terror and panic
oh, my word.
Everywhere he goes.
Oh, my word.
So we could find something funny in that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my word. He did get reassigned. I saw that. Just reading that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing, you know, what happened was not funny, but when you read something about a guy who does what he did and he got reassigned. It fits into the typical stereotype of government employees.
They're never fired.
Right.
I know we
even this guy doesn't get fired.
Right. I know we have a lot of government employees who listen to us.
Right.
And
very, very competent.
Yeah, very competent people. But it does fit the stereotype that they can never, the government folks are never fired.
Yeah,
they're
unfireable.
They're only reassigned.
Right.
And so you can make a million people think they're going to die in the next 10 minutes, and you can let that go on for 38 minutes.
He should have been put in the witness protection program. They should change his name.
And he just got reassigned.
He
did have a quote, though, the heretofore unnamed person.
Is he still unnamed?
I think he's unnamed still.
They'd have to.
Yeah, and he's on an island, for goodness sakes. Yeah. He can't drive anywhere to get away. But he said, my bad. end of quote. So
you're kidding.
He was very short with his explanation for his, he just said, my bad.
Oops.
But the agency that sent the false missile alert in Hawaii, according to the New York Post, is getting death threats. So there's no bad situation that can't be made worse by other people.
Right,
so now we're going to threaten other people there at the agency.
All right, to Fred Jackson.
A couple of more testimonies with this whole campaign.
I like that testimony, Fred.
Donald Trump as being a racist, President Trump. A couple of testimonies. On this day being Martin Luther King Day, Alveda King was on Fox and Friends this morning. And I want you to hear, she knows President Trump personally, and President Trump has relied on her for advice. This is what she has to say about the claims being made against the president.
I do not believe President Donald John Trump is a racist. I mean, look at everything. The economy's up. Jobs are up in the black community. Mm-hmm. There's great promise to get a lot of people who have been unfairly incarcerated out. So there's so many economic opportunities for babies in the womb. The president is working for America, period, as he's draining the swamp. And African Americans are benefiting. Our jobs are going up. Our unemployment is going down. Companies are saying they're going to raise their own minimum wage and do bonuses because of the tax cuts. So the president is helping the African American community, and I don't believe President Donald John Trump is a racist.
So who do you believe, the niece of Martin Luther King, Alveda King, or Dick Durbin?
Well, the deduction that people are making, I see how the left especially makes it seem like the president is a racist. I personally don't think that that Donald Trump has. If somebody were racist, they would hide it better. I know that sounds kind of backwards, but I just don't think
there's nothing there.
If somebody was a pure racist, like they're claiming that President Trump is, he would hide it better. He wouldn't just say these things that he says, because when he says some of these things that he says, he doesn't think of them in terms. I'm explaining what I view here. He doesn't think of them in terms of being racial or racist. That's the reason he goes ahead and says them. You see what? I don't know if that makes any sense.
This is all built on a false narrative, which is everything the Democrats do. They build their name calling and arguments off false narratives. So we don't even know if he said this.
Right.
Senator Tom Cotton and others are saying he didn't. Some well-trusted other Republicans are saying he did say it. So it's disputed to whether he even said it. But let's say he did say it, hypothetically. He called the countries a bad name. He didn't say the people in the countries a bad name.
Right.
He called the countries a bad name, which there are a lot of countries in the world that are very impoverished and poor. Calling them that is not racist.
And to that point, I have one more clip I want to pay. It's going to be cut 5, Brent. This is Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. Again, Fox and Friends this morning. Most people know Senator Rand Paul is also a medical doctor. He went to Haiti on a missions trip. And he told the audience this morning, guess who helped fund the mission trip? Donald Trump. Have a listen.
You know, all these crazy, over-the-top criticisms or accusations against the president don't fit with the president that I know. When I went to Haiti a few years ago, I went on a medical mission trip, and we did cataract surgery for about 200 people who were largely blind before their surgery. I asked for donations before I went on the trip, and one of them was to businessman Donald J. Trump, who not only helped with the trip to Haiti, but also helped with a previous trip that we took to Central America. So really, I think it doesn't do anybody any good. It's, you know, there's a name for this. It's called ad hominem. It's attacking the person. And so nobody wants to be called a racist. Yesterday, because I mentioned these medical mission trips on a Sunday morning program, Twitter was filled with hatred towards me, wishing me violence. I'll bet you I read 2 dozen tweets wishing me violence. I read a half a dozen, maybe couple dozen more calling me a racist.
That's Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky.
Well, I didn't know that about President Trump. He paid for the, well, didn't pay for it all, but gave a lot of money, I guess, towards the mission trip to
Haiti.
To Haiti. But again, I'll give you two other examples. Instead of talking about the substance, and again, President Trump, you could argue, could be more articulate sometimes, or could be clearer, I guess you could say.
Well, and some of his things are inflammatory. When he makes fun of Kim Jong-un, you know, calling him Rocket Man. And he's got small hands, and I've got a bigger butt. Those things, that's stuff that he shouldn't say either. So.
Right. But I'm talking about when you point with him, sometimes you point to how he said something rather than what was the intent of the substance of what he was saying. I remember this, during the NFL season, which is about over. You remember he made the comment, President Trump did. He was against the protest.
Taking a knee.
During the national anthem. Very much opposed to that. I mean, he tweeted about that, talked about that. Well, what he said was, if I were the owner of a team and that blankety blank took a knee, I would tell him he's fired. Okay. Well, that was portrayed in the mainstream media as being racial.
Right.
Because most of the players in the NFL are black. Well, it wasn't what he was saying. This is when I say he's not, he would hide it better. What he was saying was, if I'm the owner of a team, like he was during the 90s when the WFL or whatever it was, XFL,
USFL,
I would, like Jerry Jones from the Cowboys, I would not allow my players who are employees of mine to disrespect the flag of the United States. That's what he was saying, but that was turned into he's a racist because of that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So instead of dealing with the substance of what he was saying, you deal with how it's spun by the media.
Right.
And it really, quite frankly, and I know you guys may disagree with this, and maybe listeners should disagree with this, that was also what happened with the Charlottesville comments that he made, where he said, they were saying what the left was saying. He's saying it that some Nazis are good. Remember that?
That's how good people in both sides.
Both sides. That's how it was spun, right? But what he was saying was, if I remember correctly, was that the debate over Confederate statues being allowed in public parks, good people can disagree. Basically, is what he was saying. And they may have been, and there were good people and bad people at this park, and there were. I saw Antifa people there, a black gentleman who's an Antifa people with a flamethrower. Remember seeing that picture?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what President Trump was saying. There were people who were agitators on the left in Charlottesville who were there to incite, to confront the people that were there at the park to have their, and some of them maybe were racist, certainly, but others may have been there just to support the monument. That's what he was saying, but how it was spun was there were good people and bad people on both sides. That no, you can't say that. You can't say that. Do you understand what I'm?
Yeah, no, I think that's what we've been saying. This is the Democratic strategy, not just against Trump, but against the Republican Party. We're just going to make everything they say, like the Dick Durbin thing. We're going to twist it.
Right.
So that we're talking about how racist the Republicans are or Donald Trump rather than the substance of the issue.
But at some point, like Rand Paul was saying, you do this over and over and over again. Everything's racist.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you lose the potency of your argument because it's another day, another charge of racism.
And then you can't talk about real racism when it raises its head.
Yes.
Yes.
Duly noted. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Fred, we shall return momentarily. I think Steve Jordahl is going to come in. Fred, thank you for your contribution. And again, nice sweater. Nice sweater. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.